Not only are we under siege, ladies and gentlemen, it seems on many fronts in this country, from upcoming flooding, as we just talked about in the Gulf Coast, at least projected there, to continuing earthquakes, tremors in multiple locations across our nations, to really sections of our country still under massive forest fires. That's going on right now, all there. We are under siege also, not just from those natural things, but from the enemies of truth, the enemies of God, the enemies of the Constitution, within official portions of our own government. And to talk about the latest example of what I'm terming judicial tyranny, yesterday's ruling by the Ninth Federal Circuit Court, they have ruled there that Coach Joe Kennedy, who you may recognize that name, who simply bent the knee and prayed before his football games, has now been told by that U.S. federal court that he has no right to pray as a public employee. And to give us the real details of this horrendous ruling is the attorney representing Coach Joe Kennedy. He's attorney and senior counsel for First Liberty Institute, Jeremy Dice. Jeremy, thanks for being with us and working us into your busy schedule today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sam.
Let me start right off with this here. This ruling that an employee who works as a servant of the people paid by the taxpayers forfeits his constitutional right to pray in public is angering. Now, I want you, if you could, to clarify, make sure that what I'm saying is correct, but what did the court actually rule, and were you surprised at the ruling yesterday?
Well, I'm certainly deeply disappointed by the ruling yesterday, because what it basically does is affirm the position of that public high school that just because a football coach dropping down on one knee and giving a silent 15-second prayer, they have the authority to be able to fire him from his job. That's disappointing on a multitude of levels, but we should not be living in a country where it is permissible to ban a coach from the sidelines simply because he individually prays silently for 15 seconds after a football game and is seen by the watching public.
Jeremy, let me ask you this. The Ninth Circuit Court, of course, historically has done things like this before. They are perhaps the most liberal court in the country. Yet, as they continue to make decisions like this, what does this say about the future of any American who serves in any type of public office or any place where their compensation is coming from taxpayer dollars?
Well, I think especially teachers and coaches need to be aware of this decision. And I think, frankly, it gives them a lot more confusion than it does help, because if the court in the Ninth Circuit is going to affirm a school district's firing of a coach for simply offering a silent prayer for 15 seconds following a game, what's next? I mean, look, football season is upon us, and before long we're going to see the quarterback go down with an injury. And that injury could be very severe. We don't know. And it's very routine to see the coach come out there with great concern and watch as the doctors tend to the injured player, and oftentimes bow his head, or perhaps the Catholic coach will cross himself and say a silent prayer. Is that coach going to be fired then? I mean, what does this portend for all these coaches across this country? I don't think that's the America that the Constitution contemplated.
Yeah, Jeremy, I totally agree with you, and I want to emphasize again here, I mean, you've repeated it. This was not a public prayer. You're saying a private prayer. I mean, Jeremy, this appears to me to be the fact that we've gotten into thought policing. How do they know what he said? Is it the mere fact that somebody bows a knee? How does this even constitute even anything remotely close to the court trying to demonize as illegal activity?
Well, if you read the opinion that the Ninth Circuit handed down, they took great pains to note the fact that Coach Kennedy was insistent upon taking a knee. And that was some sort of demonstration, and an intentional demonstration, kind of an in-your-face demonstration, if you will, of his religious beliefs for all the students and all the fans to be able to see. Now, of course, what they did not state is what was going on when he took that knee. We know that it was a 15-second silent prayer, but for all appearances, it could have been the fact that Coach Kennedy was tying his shoe or looking for the contact lens that fell out of his eyeball. They simply don't know from appearances what actually could have gone on. So that leads me to wonder, you know, what happens when that player goes down and a coach closes his eyes for just a few too many seconds? Does that constitute an unlawful unconstitutional prayer on the sidelines by this by that coach. What about in the last seconds of the game, and you've got a tie ball game and a freshman kicker who's got to sink a 45-yard field goal, and all of a sudden the players on the sidelines link arms and half of them are praying earnestly that that ball goes through the uprights. Does the coach have to run off the field lest he be perceived as endorsing those prayers? This is the type of confusion that I'm afraid this opinion may lead to.
Jeremy, let me ask you this. You obviously argued this case. Did you make the arguments that you're mentioning here? Were those arguments made in court?
Yeah, no, all of them were made in court to this opinion. So it was disappointing, very deeply disappointing, that as we read this opinion, the court is giving great affirmation to a school district's authority to fire a coach for simply saying a silent prayer for 15 seconds after a football game.
But Jeremy, I look at that and I say, well, then, all right, court, if that's what you're saying, and I being in office for 20 years, I'm used to looking down the road and saying, what's the logical conclusion? What's the logical extension of this matter of policy that is being made? But this being the case, a coach privately bowing his head for 15 seconds, no one knows what he's saying. But now it's backed into it that he is saying a prayer to God. If that happens to an individual, then why in the world can't the court demand of us, Jeremy, or a group of teachers, a coach, whatever they may be, in the stands during the national anthem, out of respect, bowing their head and saying a prayer to God? Are we going to have some kind of a court group action, class action by the court telling people that we can't even bow our heads in the stands?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I do know that even in this case, there were a group of high school coaches that were defending their team and actually participating with their team just down the road, as a matter of fact, from Coach Kennedy's school, as these players took a knee in the style of Colin Kaepernick during the national anthem themselves. And they're saying, look, we value the right under the First Amendment to do this. Certainly, if we are afforded the right to be able to protest the national anthem, Coach Kennedy should be permitted to be able to take a knee after the football game for 15 seconds and say a silent prayer without facing the loss of his job. And I think that's a really important point to have been made there, but the Ninth Circuit didn't seem to agree with that point. Instead, they said that it's okay to ban a coach from the field for individually and privately for 15 seconds saying this silent prayer, just in the view of the fans and the students.
You know, Jeremy, if our founders could see the way this is being interpreted, they would roll over in their grave. Let me ask you this: what can be done with respect to the folks that are listening to us today? They're hearing this story. They're as incensed about it as we are. What can they do from the standpoint of an action? I mean, should they write letters? And then as far as within their own heart, because these things with increasing frequency are angering as they happen. So what can be done internally? What can be done as far as an action outwardly?
I'd encourage folks to start by going to firstliberty.org and learning more about this case itself. And then from there, you know, obviously Coach Kennedy is not receiving a bill from us. We provide our services pro bono, but we're only able to do that because the good people that are listening to the show are able to support the First Liberty Institute as we do so. So if they're inclined, we'd love to have their support. But then generally, look, the way that we win all of these cases is because brave men and women are willing to stand up and say, no, I know what my First Amendment rights are. I know what the Constitution says, and I'm not going to take this lying down. And so thankfully we've got Coach Kennedy willing to stand up over there. But look, there are probably hundreds of Coach Kennedys throughout the country every single year, and in far different circumstances, whether or not you're a football coach or a teacher or just a student. So I would encourage folks to go to firstliberty.org and review what your rights actually are so that you know what they are, and when they are questioned or called into question, you're willing to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to allow the government to tell me how to behave in public. I have the right to the free exercise of religion according to the Constitution, and I'm going to exercise it.
Jeremy, I liked what you said there in that regard, Jeremy, and that was this. Stand up, ladies and gentlemen. Do not run from this. Do not run. Engage your constitutional rights. And in my mind, I see the coach on his knee, bowing down. We say here oftentimes, kneel down, and then stand up. Jeremy, I think Dave was trying to get in, and I jumped on top of him. What is First Liberty now going to do? This seems to me to be continued judicial tyranny.
Are you going to appeal to the Supreme Court? Are you going to ask for an on-bank hearing? What's the legal status? Well,
those are certainly all options that are on the table. I mean, there really are three options, I guess, maybe four. We could do nothing and just go back. This was a denial of a preliminary injunction. We could go back and litigate the whole case to its conclusion in the district court. Or we could seek to have the case heard en banc before the entire Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, around 30 or so judges there that would hear it in one setting. Or we could appeal directly to the Supreme Court of the United States. What I can say is those are options available to anybody for this level of a case. We're trying to figure out what all those options are, which one is the best for our client, and then have the chance to sit down face-to-face with Joe and say, look, this is what we think is the best way forward, and advise him accordingly. And once we figure that out, we'll make sure everybody knows.
Jeremy Dice, one quick reference to the website again.
FirstLiberty.org.